before we pray and have our message, I want to read to you the old familiar section of the resurrection of Christ. In the end of the Sabbath, actually that's the Sabbath day. There's seven holy days. This is the end of it, the last one. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became a dead man. And the angel entered and said unto the woman, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, and with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. He was a risen Lord, and men saw him. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we want Christ to be lifted up now. As we look to your word, there's something about Jesus Christ that has attracted the world. He has been an attraction of novelty, an attraction of hatred, an attraction of adoration, or whatever it is. We know that we cannot ignore the fact that he rose from the dead on the third day. He was seen and witnessed, and he still lives today. Men and women all over this world for centuries have given testimony that he lives in their lives. Father, I pray that there's one here today that is not living, and the fact that Christ is living in their life, that the Spirit of God would tell them, show them and reveal to them that unless they have Christ, they don't have life. For you're talking about a resurrection life. Thank you now for this time we have. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll turn back to Exodus chapter 3, Exodus is the resurrection book of the Old Testament. You didn't know that, did you? Chapter 3 is a resurrection chapter. Matter of fact, there's a lot of... There's the Passover. The Passover. Actually, Easter means Passover. Jesus, God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. If you look in your Bible, you'll find the word Easter in there, but that's not in the Greek. The word in the Greek would be Passover. This is a Passover. And Christ rose from the dead. He shed his blood. And now God, when he sees the blood of Christ that's been accepted by us as our sacrifice, he passes over us in the sense that we don't go through the judgment. Exodus chapter 3. We're in the tenth lesson of our study on Moses, the servant of God. And it amazes me how God puts things together. We're looking at Moses' second excuse, his second fear. And I didn't realize this ahead of time, but this is a resurrection section that we're going to be in today. Exodus chapter 3 and verses 13 through 22 deals with Moses' second excuse of why he should not go back to Egypt and deliver the Israelites out of bondage. And the answer that God gives to him is his name. And his name is the name of life. God is saying to him, I am life. And I want you to go back to them and tell them that I am going to bring them up out of the land of affliction. That's a resurrection term. The first excuse that Moses gave God was, I don't have the ability. And God says, I'll just go with you. I will be your ability. And now Moses says in Exodus 3, if you want to read, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you,
And they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? First of all, he said, I don't have any ability. Now he says, I don't have any authority. No ability, no authority. What am I going to say? And he says, you tell them this. You say unto them, that I am, that I am. And he said, thus shall I say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. Now this is the term that Moses used only with the children of Israel. It's a name of God. It's the name that also you may not be aware of that Jesus used many times. One of the times that he used it is that they were going to stone him. Because they wanted to know, when did he come? And he said, before Abraham was, I am. He used that same term, and they knew what he was saying. He says, I am the same one that appeared to Moses. I am the same one that appeared back to Abraham. I was before Abraham. I am. He used the same name. You don't do that unless you're the same person. He says, I'm God. And so God tells him, here's my name. You give it to him. So he answers the second of five fears with this thing of his name. And it's a promise. He says, you use this. You got it. You've got my name. Now, Exodus, as I said, is a book about resurrection. It started off with a type of the resurrection of Christ. And if you go through the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament, from the beginning to the end, you'll find types of Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You remember when Moses was put in the basket and put in the water? That was a picture of death, burial when he was put in, and then he was raised back up. Resurrection. And even back over in verse 6, a couple weeks ago, one of the things that God told Moses when he met him at the bush, he says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is the same answer that Jesus gave the scribes and the Pharisees when they asked him about the resurrection. He used that. He says, I am the God of the living. They say, is there a resurrection? They had this question, you know, this woman that had a husband, actually I think she had six or seven, they died, and they said, who is she going to be in the resurrection? And then he explained that their theology was faulty. They were really trying to get him pinned down on something, and he got him straightened out. But in the process, he explained to them that he was the resurrection. He said, haven't you read? And took him back to this term. Exodus is a book of resurrection. Now, Moses is afraid to go in his own name. You see, he took out, first of all, and tried to deliver Israel in his own name. He says, I'm really something. And then he failed, and God had him out in the desert for 40 years. And now God's going to send him back in his name and his power. He says, I don't have any authority. And God says, my name's going to be your authority. It's the same thing. We trust Christ as our Savior, and we say, I can't tell others about Christ. But Jesus says, you do it. You go. And he says, you go in my name. And then if they don't believe you, it's not your problem. It's between me and them. If someone tells you about Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried and rose again the third day, and you need to repent of your sins because Christ is your Savior, and you don't do it, or you get mad at the person that tells you that you're a sinner, and I've had that happen a lot of times. We don't like people to tell us that we're sinners. You are saying to God, I don't like what I hear. And many times, it's been taken out on the messenger. But he's not in his own name. He's coming in the authority of another. And so we go in the authority of Christ. He says, in the name. He says, you go in my name. You baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, what we want to do this morning is just find out, what did the name mean to Moses? What did it mean to Israel? And what does it mean to us? We're going to learn some interesting things in this little study. Now let's take off right away. What did the name mean to Moses? Moses is saying, I need some authority for this job. God, you want me to go back? I'm going to go tootling in there, and they're going to say, who sent you, fella? Out. We don't know you. But he's going to come in there, and he's going to say, I'm here in the name of God. And next week, we're going to get into this. He's going to say, what if they don't believe me? That's his next one. You know, Moses got it all thought out. He doesn't want to go. He's scared. Actually, the five fears, we're going to deal with that next week. But you just go. You go in my name. Have you ever done something in somebody else's name, you know, that really gave you some clout? You know, people would snap if you said, well, I'm here in so-and-so's name. They say, oh, you know, when you come in, they don't even look up hardly. And you say, well, I'm here representing so-and-so. That's what it's fun to do. One time I was given some secret orders to take across Turkey for a NATO exercise, and, you know, just, I couldn't get much done by myself. But once they handed me these orders, man, they gave me a room in a fancy motel. Well, it wasn't a motel over in Turkey, it was an anchor. It's been like a Hilton or something. They gave me a chauffeur with a Land Rover. And we took off, and I had to deliver these orders. And it was a remote area. And I remember where we traveled down, I'd get out and I'd go to dinner. I had to carry this satchel with me everywhere I went. I had to sit on it when I ate dinner and everything, and guard it for my life. And they said, for 5 years after that, you're responsible for this information up here. It's a secret order. But I had all the authority of the United States Air Force and the NATO command behind me. And so when I went here and here and here, and I say, I'm here in the name of so-and-so, boy, they had popped too, and things clicked. Then when it was all over, we were back to old up who, you know, who you, you know. But when we go in the name of God, and we talk about Christ, we're an ambassador. And if they refuse us, they're really refusing the one that sent us. So it's a very serious thing to reject God's messenger. Now Moses says, you know, I don't have any authority. And God says, I am your authority. When he says, I am, he's saying, I am self-existent. I am. We say, how long has God been? He just says, I am. I've always been. If you want to blow your brain, you try to figure out where God came from. He just always had been. That's what he says, I am. I've just always been. So you need some authority. He says, I am your authority, Moses. This is Jesus, says all power. You know when he said all power is given unto me? That is all the authority of God is mine, because I am God. So if you reject Christ, you reject God. If you reject Christ, you reject your own salvation. You doom yourself to hell. Well, Moses goes. We'll get into that later on. And when he goes in his name, we're going to see some amazing things happen as we're doing this little series. For those of you that are visiting, we're doing a study on the life of Moses. But as he goes, I picked out one little section in Numbers 16, verse 28. When at one point in time, some of those around Moses, I think they were Levites, Korah, Dathan, and those guys, they got to watching what Moses is doing. They were saying, hey, we can do that. How come you get to do all this? How come you're the chief? And we're the little chiefs, you know. How come you are the one that calls the shots? And he says, I am doing it because God told me to do it. Well, they say, we can do it so. And it was really sort of a bad situation, because what it turned out, they got Moses riled up. And Moses said, listen, you guys are going to die. And he says, listen, here's how you know that I am representing God. If these guys die a natural death, then I'm not representing God. But he says, if God does something new and he opens up the earth and it swallows up these rebels, then you'll know that God is behind me. And just as the words come out of his mouth, the earth opened up and swallowed those guys, and the Bible says they went down to the pit. And then it closed back on, that took their tents and their families and them, and they all went down. When someone comes to you in the name of God, they are really representing God. It's a dangerous thing to oppose them. The dangerous thing. So Moses said, well, who's going to back me up? And God said, how about if I back you up? Is that good enough? Well, he says, okay. And then he goes to another one. And when he gets all done, he has to go anyway. You know, it just doesn't work to argue with God. If he wants you to do something, you better do it. You better do it. Now, what does God's name mean to Israel? As we go through this passage, it meant to Moses, you know, he had all the authority he needed, but what did it mean to Israel? You see, he's going to deliver Israel. Just as God sent Christ to deliver you, he's going to deliver Israel. Here's what it means to them. They needed freedom. In Exodus 3:17, God says, and I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of Canaan. And the Hittites and the Amorites, the Perizzites, in other words, there were a bunch of guys living there. They were going to have to go conquer, but he was going to be with them as they conquered it. But actually God is saying, I am your freedom. He's saying to Israel, I am your freedom. To Moses, he was saying, I am your authority. To Israel, he's going to come, he says, you need freedom. You guys are in bondage. I am your freedom. And when I free you, Egypt won't affect you anymore. When God frees you from sin, when you trust Him as your Savior, you're free. It's like in that film. We saw it 2 weeks ago. The little boy, the man in there said, you're free. When he trusted Christ, nobody can hurt you. He says, when I free you, you're going to be free. And by the way, he says, when I get done with Egypt, they're not going to hurt anybody. Because he destroyed their army. He devastated Egypt. Egypt was a power no more. Another power took over at that point. And here's the point for us. When God destroyed the power of Egypt, it cannot affect them anymore. When God saves you, when the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, He destroys the power of sin over your life. And if you're dominated by sin, and if you're whipped, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. God never did intend for a Christian to live in defeat. He intended that once we came to the cross, we stayed at the cross. The cross is the emblem of death. When we trust Christ and we identify with Him, we receive Him as our Savior, we are dead to self. And we live to God. When we go to baptism, when we're baptized, we go down into death. It's a picture of my old life is over. And Christ lives. But we have problems when we try to come back and live again. That's how we got in the mess in the first place. He says, you just let me direct your life. And you'll find everything you need. I am whatever you need. One of the most amazing things to me, as I put life together from my little experience, is I found that everything I wanted, I lost as I tried to get it myself. And everything I wanted, I gained as I just submitted to God and let Him lead and direct in my life. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Everything you need will be supplied for you. But if you try to make life work for you, it won't work. Now, He said to Egypt, I am your freedom. You need freedom? I'm going to be your freedom. And this is, I was thinking of a passage. You write this down. Romans 6, 4 through 6 is a resurrection passage for the Christian. Matter of fact, Romans 6 is the basis of this study. I'm not going through it a lot of times, but the basis of this study on the life of Moses is Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 4, listen, therefore we are buried with Him. If we're talking about resurrection today, is what we're talking about. We celebrate it. I celebrate it every day. It says, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, just as Christ was raised from the dead, even so, it says, by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. When we come up and we trust Christ as Savior, our life should be new. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away, the new things have come. Let me say this to you very clearly. Some of you may think you're a Christian, and you're no more a Christian than anybody that's never heard of Christ. You may think that you're a Christian because you go to church once a year. You may think that you're a Christian because you live in America and this isn't a Christian nation. There are other nations that are sending missionaries to us now. They're looking at us and we're worse than them. You are a Christian when Christ lives His life through you. You receive Him into yourself, into your life. And He changes your life. A Christian cannot live in sin and be happy with it. You can't do things after you trust Christ. This is what the resurrection is about. It's a new life. Just as Christ said, I rose, conquered death, you rise, you conquer death and sin. And He's saying to Israel, you're rising to walk a new life. You know that when Abraham Lincoln, January 1, 1963, 12 o'clock noon, when he signed the Emancipation Proclamation, that meant freedom to all the slaves in America. It was no more legal. It's no more legal to have a slave. It meant freedom. When Christ rose from the grave, it meant freedom from sin, from death. Death doesn't have any dominion over a Christian. We don't fear death. If we die, it's just we just go to be with the Lord. Paul said it's gain to me. He says, I don't care. It's just gain, advantage. We don't fear it. Those of you that aren't saved, you'll be afraid to die. You'll be afraid. This is why when we have funerals, so many people get very serious because they can't handle it. The Christian should be able to handle death. He's free. So what it meant to Israel? Well, they had a new owner, a new lifestyle, new habits. Same thing to us also. And this brings us down to what it does mean to us. Everything it meant to Moses, it means to us. Everything it meant to Israel, it means to us. I've been giving you principles to take with you. Take this one. If all God is, and he said this to Moses, this is the message he was saying to Moses. Actually, he was saying, Moses, all that I am for you. All that I am, all that I am, Moses, I'm for you. And he's saying that to us. He said, all that God is, he is for me. If you're a believer in Christ, then your life should have some control. I got to thinking about this. Sometimes our lives get to going like they're out of control. This last week was one of those in our life. There's just so much going on. So many people to work with. So many people coming over and calling. I finally realized, Lord, we're getting tired. And that's all right. Jesus, he had that happen in his life too. And the principle that Jesus told his disciples was, let's get away and rest a while. And I said, okay, Lord, if this is what we need, then I'm going to bring it to you because I can begin to get growly or something. So I just submitted to the Lord. Lord, if you want me tonight to get away, then you'll provide for us to get away for a little bit. You will be our rest. And take it into your life. Do you have something that's pressing in on you? A decision? A problem? Whatever it is, God says, I am what you need. Whatever it is, I am what you need. And this is exactly what Jesus said. Listen to this. You know, what the world needs is peace. Well, if they get Jesus, they'll get peace because he says, peace I give to you. Peace is the one that gives peace. Now, I went down through a list of things. This isn't all of them. But listen, he says, I am peace, I am light, I'm bread, I'm water, I'm the door, I'm the way, I'm the shepherd. He says, I am. He used the term, I am. So if you're troubled, he says, I am peace. Bring yourself to me, come to me, I am peace. He says, if you're in darkness, he says, I am light. If you're hungry, he says, I am bread. If you're thirsty, I'm water. If you need direction, I am the door. If you need some help in decisions, he says, come to me. I will be the way. I'll show the way. Whatever it is. If you need protection, he says, I am the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And I got to thinking about this. It just popped into my mind. What do we quote from Psalm 16:11? I haven't even looked it up yet. Psalm 16:11. Anybody, can you quote that? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, what is your strength? The joy? No. Joy isn't your strength. It is the joy of the Lord. The joy comes from the Lord. My joy comes from the Lord. We try to focus in on joy. Boy, I need some joy. I'm sad. I get some joy. So you pump up joy. No. You get your strength and your joy comes from the Lord Himself. This, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Like the fact that the Lord here is with me. That is my joy. He is my strength. He is whatever I need. Now let me tell you something. You can't fake being a Christian. You can try, but it doesn't meet your inner needs. Some of you here today need to trust Christ as your Savior. You've been putting it off. You've been pretending. This is the reason you don't read your Bible. Because you don't know the author. This is the reason you don't pray. You know you should, but you don't know the author. This is the reason you don't find time to come to church very much. Because you don't have God as a center of your life. Your work is a center. Or yourself is a center. Your pleasures. You need Christ. And maybe you've been trying to fool yourself. I'm being very firm. But I'm very convinced from Scripture. I've went through this hundreds of times. And I'm convinced that what Jesus said was true. He said, when he came back, would he even find faith? As the world gets worse, he said, when I come back, will I even find very many that are saved? We're going to move into some new times. The prophecy takes place as it looks like. And whatever it is that you face that's tough, you'll find your satisfaction, you'll find your rest and your strength in Christ. You won't find it yourself. There's a lot of failure in self. I've tried it. You know what? Mary and Martha had a crisis one day. Their crisis was their brother died. And so they said to Jesus, "Would you come quick? And would you come quick and heal him before he dies?" And you know what Jesus did? He delayed on purpose 2 days so that Lazarus would be good and dead. So he could come and raise him from the dead. And when he got there, you know what? They didn't ask for what they really wanted. They said, "It's too late. He's already dead. He's been in the grave 4 days." You know what they needed was a resurrection. And he comes in and he says, "I am a resurrection." "Yeah, Lord, we know you're a resurrection. Great. We got it in our mind. You're a resurrection." "No," he says, "listen, I am the resurrection. I'm life." "Yes, Lord, we know. You're a resurrection. You're life. And the last day you're going to raise everybody up." "Yeah." He says, "No. I am the resurrection. I resurrect the dead." Walked over to the grave, hollered out, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he had to use Lazarus' name because if he just said, "Come forth," it would clear the countryside. There'd been dead people coming up alive. But he just wanted Lazarus. "Lazarus, come forth!" And Lazarus came out there and he said, "Let him loose." And Lazarus went on and died a normal life. He says, "I'm the resurrection." Do you know that he can do that in your life? He can resurrect you from your situation that's got you down. Some of you are already in the bog. You've got problems. Why are you down in the gloom? Why do you get depressed? Did you know that depression, the basic root of depression is sin? I did some study on that this week in my psychology book. I get to study now a little bit. The basic root of depression is sin. And that's logical. Anytime we get our mind and our eyes off of Christ, we get them back on ourselves or others or circumstances, and it produces problems. It produces sin. That will keep him in perfect peace. His mind will stay on me. The secret is for me too, and I've got to watch it because I'm prone to wander. I tend to backslide just like you. Is to keep our mind and eyes on the Lord no matter what. Continually. There's where the rest like this. So he says, "Mary, Martha, what you need is the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. Whatever you need, Jesus is. But he let me do it." That's the thing. You know, if you need to be saved, guess what? He is the Savior. What you need is life. If you're not saved, you are a living dead person. You say, "Now you're getting off on the deep end." No. That's what Jesus said. There is a man that came to Jesus who was the ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus by name. He said, "Lord, how can a man get to heaven?" He said, "Listen, very carefully. He said, listen, if you want to get to heaven, you got to be born again." And what he said, "Nicodemus, you are dead spiritually. You need to be born spiritually." And what we have is churches and people all over this world that have been, they've heard a little bit about Christ. They know a little bit about church or whatever, but they haven't been spiritually born. And this is why you won't have a desire to pray. This is why you won't have a desire to come to church and fellowship. This is why you won't have a desire to read the Word of God. Don't fool yourself anymore. Jesus said you must be born again. And when you're born again, it all comes within. You don't have to try to pump yourself up to pray. You'll want to pray. I remember, I couldn't understand this Bible until Christ came into my life. And I spent many years reading it. I didn't get much out of it, I'll confess. But once the Spirit of God came in, it changed it. This, to me, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." We want to feed our mouth. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." If you give me a choice, I'd rather take the Word of God than physical food. And maybe if we'd spend less time at the table and more time in the Word, we'd have less problems. Well, if you have Jesus, you have all you need. That's the whole point. That's what he said to Moses. "Listen, you got me, you got all you need. You got all the authority you need." And this is why we say, all God is, he is for me. All God is, he is for me. And Jesus said it to us also. Moses had a need. And God says, "I'm your answer. Will you just turn over your life to God? Your problem, whatever. All the authority you need. As I used to travel from country to country to country, or come up and knock at the gate and say, can I come through your country? And I wouldn't do that. I'd come up and they'd look at you or whatever, but you just slap your passport down, and a military passport, and I'd go from Germany to Austria to Switzerland to wherever I wanted to go, and I'd travel to Europe or down to Turkey or Israel. The only thing that got me from country to country was that little passport. You know how far I would have got without it? Wouldn't have got anywhere. You know how far you're going to get as far as getting into heaven without the passport of eternal life? You're not going to get in. The Bible says, I'm going to quote a verse to you. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. Let's say this pen represents eternal life. That God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. If I put eternal life in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he that has the Son, put Jesus in my heart, has life. And he that has not the Son does not have life. Do you realize that if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have eternal life? And if you die, you go to hell. It's so important. This is what Easter is about. It's a resurrection story. It's a life story. We that know Christ have been resurrected. I celebrate this every day. This is no big deal to me. Easter, to me, or Passover, every day, like I told somebody this morning, the dead rise. I get up, I'm dead. The Lord, would you live through me today? That's the resurrection life. But if you get up in the morning and you just take off, you're saying to God, I'm going to live my life the way I want to. And you'll go the way you want to, and you won't go the way God wants you to. God wants you to go to heaven. Wants you to go to work. Let's bow for prayer. Won't be very long. But I want you to just look at your life right now and say, am I saved? Am I really a Christian? How come I don't want to read my Bible? How come I don't want to pray? How come I don't want to go to church? How come I do all these other things that I want to do instead of doing what God wants? Maybe it's just that what Jesus said is true. No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll love the one and hate the other. And you're trying to have two masters, but you really just have one, and that's yourself. And maybe the Lord got me sort of fired up today just to sort of wake you up. Time is running out, friends. I'm doing all I can, as fast as I can, because I believe the Lord's coming back soon. Just as He promised, just as the scriptures that Jerry read before they sang. He's coming back soon. You may put it off one day too long about trusting Christ. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Very clearly. When do I get saved? God says today. Satan says this morning. So we're going to pray and close. Before we pray, if you'd like to pray and receive Christ as your Savior, all our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, nobody looking around. If you'd like to pray and receive Christ, just lift your hand up real quick so I can pray for you. I'm needing a prayer. Anyone? Nobody looking. Nobody looking. Just slip it out real quick. Or just move it so I can see and pray for you. Okay? Let's pray. And you pray this prayer if you want to cry. Lord Jesus, I know I'm lost. And I ask you to come into my life. I've been going in my own authority. I've been seeking my own source of strength. I've really been living with you. And I now, by faith, ask you to come into my life and save my soul. I turn it all over to you. All that I have, all the mess, all the problems, all the heartache, Jesus. I give it all to you and accept you in my life. And I now by faith thank you for coming in. The Bible says, Jesus said, behold, I stand for them not, if any man would hear my voice and open the door. I'll come in with you. And you just come into your life. And what he wants you to do now, after you've trusted him, is to make a public confession of him as your Savior. All the invitations that Jesus gave, the Bible talks about them, are public invitations. I don't think the Lord knows much about secret disciples. All of his are in the open. We need to follow the Lord and make the baptism sometime. Make the confession of him. Father, thank you for the time we've had. This beautiful Passover morning, Resurrection Day, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, and for those of us that know Christ, we celebrate it every day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for dying on the cross and rise again. I pray for these folks, Lord, that you would bless them, that they would come to find the joy there is in Jesus. Lord, thank you so much for saving me and taking me out of that life I was in. What a miserable existence it was. And I just pray that no one here would go away from Christ, turn away from Christ. Just like Egypt and all that bondage, you came and you set them free. You did that for me, and you can do that for them. Thank you for this day. We love you.